This is Family Policy Matters. This program is produced by the North Carolina Family Policy Council, a pro-family research and education organization dedicated to strengthening and preserving the family. And now from the studio, here's John Rustin, president of the North Carolina Family Policy Council.
Thank you for joining us this week for Family Policy Matters. It is our pleasure to have Dr. Scott Stanley with us on the program. Dr. Stanley is a research professor and co-director of the Center for Marital and Family Studies at the University of Denver. He is also senior fellow for the National Marriage Project at the University of Virginia and for the Institute for Family Studies. He is co-author of the book, A Lasting Promise. Dr. Stanley is also co-author of a new report from the National Marriage Project entitled, Before I Do, What Do Premarital Experiences Have to Do with Marital Quality Among Today's Young Adults? We're going to be talking with Dr. Stanley about the key findings of this report and why what happens before marriage can have a huge impact on what happens within marriage. Dr. Stanley, welcome to Family Policy Matters. It's a great pleasure to have you with us.
Thank you very much for having me on your show. I appreciate it.
Well, thank you for your time and for your willingness to share your insights with us. As we begin, Dr. Stanley, tell us briefly about the origins of this report and some of the questions you and your co-researcher, Dr. Galena Rhodes, set out to answer.
Well, in 2007, we started a study where we recruited nationally 1,300 people who were unmarried in serious relationships, and we followed them for 5 years. And over that time, a subsample of 418 of the 1,300 got married. And we had just gotten around to the point of entering all that data and wanting to begin to look at those marriages. And the National Marriage Project, Brad Wilcox in particular, came to us and said, would you be interested in writing a report for them that really focused on those people that got married and what factors in their own relationship histories and or their history together as a couple related to how their marriages turned out so far.
Well, I'm sure it provided some very interesting insights for you as you looked at those relationships. Now, the report begins with the story of movie stars Angelina Jolie and Brad Pitt, who recently married after living together for several years and having a number of children as a result of that relationship. This Hollywood couple is really a good example of the relationship sequence that so many young people today seem to be following, where they become sexually active, then move in together, then have children, and then decide at that point to get married. How common is this relationship sequence, and why is it something that so many young people seem to be embracing these days?
I think it's exceptionally common. It was even a number of years ago that we passed the point where for the first birth, the average woman in the U.S. that was under 30 having her first child was not married. So it's a big deal. And I think it's part that change, which is dramatic in the course of the last 40 years in our society, is really part of a whole larger trend where I think we've seen an exceptional kind of dismantling of the idea of steps and stages and sequences in relationships. And I believe some of that relates to sort of a culture that's changed in terms of people having all sorts of different opinions about how you do things, and movie stars, being more prominent about their own personal lives and people seeing those as examples. And I think the other part of the reason why that's changed so much is because of the way divorce ramped up in the late 70s and early 80s, I think out of that, over those next two decades, people began to really fear marriage and fear failing in marriage. So even though marriage is doing well or one of the most positive things that can happen to somebody in their life and one of the best things possible for children, people began to, in some naive kind of way, to associate marriage as the problem as opposed to instability and poor development of relationships as the problem. And so in that moving away from marriage, people now have kind of moved away from all kinds of structure and sequence about how they do love and commitment and how families develop.
Do you see that as sort of a snowball effect where you have children who grow up in broken homes where their parents are divorced or separated, and then they are more likely to follow that same trend themselves? I imagine that's a contributing factor, but how much of a factor is that in what we've seen today with these trends?
I think it's a huge contributing factor, and now we really have this giant, you know, people talk about economic inequality, but social capital inequality is really actually a much bigger thing, and it starts in terms of really the differences in terms of stability that people experience in family and resources. And people that have experienced more instability in their own family growing up are more likely to have that instability as they grow themselves and as they make their own choices about family and children and love and sex in their own adulthood. So I really do believe there's a snowball, and now you really see where, you know, marriage is in sort of rapid decline for, I think, virtually every demographic group in America except for those who graduate from college, which is now the group who used to be sort of shying away from marriage and moving toward cohabitation. It's now the group that's kind of doing the most traditional model in terms of sequence, maybe not traditional in terms of roles, but in terms of sequence of, you know, getting somewhat set in as an individual, marrying, then having children after you're somewhat established in your marriage. That's pretty much the group now that's really fully embracing that sequence, and it's going by the wayside for most all other groups in our society.
Interesting. Well, Dr. Stanley, I love the cover of the Before I Do report, which features a sleeping baby wearing a t-shirt that says, "What happens in Vegas doesn't always stay in Vegas." I think it's a striking image. The findings of this report really challenge the popular notion that what one chooses to do in relationships during their younger years does not really have an impact on their future marriage. What are some of the key findings in the report regarding previous sexual relationships and the impact of those relationships on the quality of someone's marriage?
Yeah, let me talk about a few of those findings. And also, I should say that, you know, our sample provided us with a unique opportunity to really have great data over time on these people before marriage, and then to look at what they reported about their marital quality once married. But a lot of these findings are actually consistent with other findings in the literature and other kinds of methods. So even though some people kind of bristle about some of these findings, these are not new ideas, although we have sort of some really good methods for looking at them. So one finding is that people tend to report higher quality marriage. They tend to be more satisfied, you know, feel comfortable communicating, trust, etc., if they only ever had sex with the person that they married, as opposed to with a number of partners. And then beyond that, the more sexual partners somebody has had historically in their life, and we found that the typical person reported having 5 before marriage in addition to the person that they married if they had sex with that person, that the more sexual partners people had, that the more likely they would report lower marital quality. Similarly, and there's a lot of literature on this now, if somebody had ever cohabited with somebody, whether or not they cohabited with their mate, the person they married, if they had ever cohabited with somebody else, they were also more likely to report somewhat lower marital quality. And then, of course, if they had had a child by a prior partner, that, of course, is a risk factor for how their marriage is going to do once they settle down with somebody.
What are some of the factors that impact that quality of marriage based on the individual's relationships that they had had before marriage?
There's several. And before I go to some of the things that we would think of as likely more causal, it's relevant to point out that some of what drives those kinds of patterns is what we call selection effects in research, where, you know, there are people who came from more difficult homes, had poor educational background, tougher economic strain, and any number of other sort of experiences that you can have in life, or you know, where life doesn't deal you as strong a hand as maybe somebody else gets. And in a lot of ways, some of these factors will be partly driven by that. that. But then there's other things that we really do think of as more causally related to how the person plays the hand they're dealt, if you will. And when people have had a lot more partners, here's some of the things to be concerned about. One is that in doing that, you're really learning kind of more in depth that there's a lot of alternatives to the relationship that you're in. So you may now be committed in marriage to this person, or you've made some level of commitment in marriage. But when you've had all that experience, it leaves you with a greater sense that I could have somebody else. I could be with somebody else. There's other fish in the sea. And that idea, that's always true for everybody when they've made a commitment in marriage, that, you know, on some level, there's, you know, just because you committed to this one doesn't mean that everybody else disappeared. But it's one of the great challenges of really maintaining commitment is handling all the alternatives you didn't choose after you've chosen the person that you did choose. So one of the things that a number of scholars believe is that when you have a lot more relationship experience, especially more sexual experience, cohabiting experience, you're going to have a greater sense of comparisons to the person that you married, and that can be tough on both commitment and tough on satisfaction. You also, when you've had a lot more experience like that, you've had a lot more experience breaking up. So you're more practiced in, when you get unhappy, deciding, I'm going to move on. I'm not going to maintain this relationship. So that's in the mix. And then another one that's just really obvious is when you've had more of sexual partners and you've cohabited with other people before marriage, you're much more likely to have a child from a prior relationship that then you're bringing into the marriage. And that makes it harder for people in terms of selecting and finding a mate in marriage who's a good match for them, and then it's an added strain once married.
Well, in the study, I know you examine a number of relationship risk factors that can serve as what you speak of as warning signs for couples prior to marriage. Talk about, if you would, Dr. Stanley, some of these risk factors that you looked at in the report.
I'm glad you asked, because the first one I'll talk about is one that got almost no media attention with all the other findings. And it, in some ways, it was one of the most potent ones in what we looked at. If people had really thought clearly a time or two, or consistently even before marriage, that they were more committed to the relationship than their partner, it was a particularly strong predictor of lower marital quality. Which means if somebody were listening to the show and they've been with somebody for a while and they're thinking about whether to marry this person, but they've really seriously thought over time, I'm really more committed to this than this other person, that's a big warning flag. And I think sometimes people think, if I can just get this person to the altar, you know, everything's going to be fine. They're going to say I do, and the commitment will have like a big conversion to a high level. People should take that as a warning sign. Another warning sign that's really similar to that, of course, in terms of difference in commitment, is if your partner before marriage has ever had sex with somebody else, has ever cheated on you. And it should be pretty obvious why that's a warning sign, but sure enough, we find that it is. And lastly, pretty commonly, a lot more young couples have aggression in their relationships before marriage than most people realize. And some of this is what you really think of as the most damaging, controlling kind, but a lot more of it in terms of what happens is people not handling conflict well, leading to some pushing, shoving, slapping, things like this. And that's a great warning sign. It should be obvious to people that it is, but some people don't really recognize that is. And if you combine some of those patterns of aggression with a controlling partner and all, people should really think about getting help, calling the National Domestic Hotline, talking to some counselor they trust. I mean, those are really serious warning signs of the potential future of a relationship that people could really act on and take a lot more seriously before marriage.
Unfortunately, we're nearly out of time for this week. Dr. Stanley, where can our listeners go to learn more about the report and get a copy of it?
If they go to the nationalmarriageproject.org, so just all one word, nationalmarriageproject.org, or just Google National Marriage Project, and we did write it for the average person to just be able to read it and get what they could from it. So hopefully it will benefit some people.
Well, Dr. Scott Stanley, it has been a real pleasure speaking with you today. Thank you so much for taking time out of your schedule to be with us on Family Policy Matters and for sharing your insights about relationships and marriage. We are really appreciative.
Thank you. I really appreciate being on your show, John. Thank you.
Family Policy Matters is an information and analysis feature of the North Carolina Family Policy Council. Join us weekly for discussion on policy issues affecting the family. If you have questions or comments, please contact us at 919-807-0800 or visit our website at ncfamily.org.